Morning. It's a blessing to be in the service. Hear all the good music and the good messages from the scriptures. Appreciate so much everybody that's preached this morning and how the Lord is dealing with us in these days. You may be finding your place in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, and the 12th chapter of the Book of the Revelation, Luke chapter 10. Revelation chapter 12. When I send out my announcements about where I'm going to be, I'm going to include something that might surprise you. I'm going to tell people I'm going to bring the Jackson 5 with me. There they sit right over there. I love that family. We met many years ago, and I refer to them affectionately as the Jackson Five. They came down to see us. First time, I guess, they came down. I was in the business of cutting wood, busting wood. And so I invited the professor to go with me. I worked him like a clay pit mule for 2 days. Some of you don't know what that is either, clay pit mule. That's the kind of mule you put him to work and don't feed him much. But anyway, he proved he could work, so we developed a good friendship. I try not to work him too much, but he's a blessing, he and his family. Luke chapter 10, realize that we're in the middle of something when you read this chapter. You're always in the middle of something in the Bible. If you're going to start at the beginning, you got to start before the beginning. Before the beginning, there's a lot of things happen before the beginning in the Bible. That's right. So I'm going to start at verse number 13 and just read a little bit. The Lord has sent out the 70 in the earlier parts of this chapter. And then in verse 13, he said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me. He that despiseth you despiseth me. He that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me." And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. He turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Now, there's many things to be said about the passage that I will not say today. I'm focused on one particular statement, and it is found in the 18th verse of this passage. I think we can understand that hearing and seeing in regard to spiritual matters is a great responsibility. Some people contend that we're only responsible for what we actually know. Others of us hold the view that all of us are responsible for what we could know. Dr. Vance Havner made a statement years ago about this. He said, I am not sure when we get to the judgment that we will be judged so much by how many sins we've committed as we'll be judged by how much light we have rejected. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? How much light we have rejected. I meditated a long time about what I should do in these morning Bible studies, and I'm not sure I can do a decent job of it, but I know that in the background of every person here, there is the fact that our country presently is involved in a visible war. And though we think about a lot of other things, back in the background, that is still running in the mind. I studied the prophets, and then I studied preachers, and preachers that I've known. And God's preacher has a responsibility to deal a lot of times with present things to better equip the Lord's people in difficult times. Prophets in the Old Testament always addressed issues that were going on in their cities, in their particular parts of the country, and all of that. The prophets always had something to say about that. A preacher can't ignore the times that he's in and be effective. We've got to speak to the times, and we have to deal with some of the things. I hope everything works out well in what we are engaged in as a people. And it is we, it's not just them, it's us. It's a we deal. You say, well, I didn't vote for that. Well, I wasn't asked about it, were you? But I am part of the larger group. I'm still an American, and I'm grateful to be an American. But my thoughts this morning is a little bit different than the visible war. I want to speak a little bit in these days on the invisible war. Now, seeing I've given that title out, I hope that some of you, and maybe the rest of you will, get Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse's book called The Invisible War. How many of you have ever read that? Brother Jones has read it. Brother Jackson's read it. If you've never been exposed to that, it can be an eye-opening book in a lot of ways. Now, when I recommend somebody's book, I don't always agree with every particular point they make. But why not acknowledge it if somebody's helped you? I think we ought to do that. You don't have to subscribe to everything I think or say in order for me to be your friend. I'll be your friend if you'll let me be your friend. Right. And I don't have a long list of those. I have a lot of acquaintances, but I have a few friends, thank God. And back earlier in the year, I thought I was going to bury them all. It seemed like every time I turn around, another preacher died or another close friend died. And I've preached more funerals this year than I usually do in 12 months. And this is just March. But I want you to look at this statement Jesus made, verse 18. He said unto them, that is the 70, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I mean, right in the middle of what they're talking about, this is what he said. Now, I'm turning to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. And I'm going to read several verses here. We'll just take these morning sessions pretty easy. Do what we can. We'll come back the next morning, do a little more. Next morning, maybe a little more. May not get anything done, but we're going to talk about some things. Revelation chapter 12. And I'm going to begin to read verse number 1 and read several verses. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. She, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. The dragon that stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. She brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, my mother always told me as a boy to stay away from deep water. And as a result of that, I never learned how to swim. So I've always tried to be conscious of when I'm on the edge of deep water. And that's where we are. So I'm going to kind of walk careful here. I don't want to fall in because I can't swim. Now, some of you didn't get that, but you'll get it later. There's a lot of ways to look at what I want to look at in these sessions together. I really have 3 things, and it's too big. We won't deal with all of them. But I want to talk to you a little bit in these days about the fall of Satan, the battle of the ages, and the rise of the Antichrist. In that order. The fall of Satan, the battle of the ages, and the rise of the Antichrist. Now you know that's more than we'll get to. I talk too slow, but you can study it anyway. That's what I got in my mind. Now, we can look at this categorically, chronologically, theologically, historically, or prophetically. Just take your pick. I'm going to try to make sense out of it, hopefully. And I want to just ask some questions. The first verse I read, Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He saw it. Now, I think there's several pertinent questions. First, why did Satan fall? Secondly, when did he fall? Thirdly, what does his fall have to do with us? Is it still having an effect on us? So you can just keep going on with questions. Questions kind of open up a subject for you. And these are all, and there are many other, very pertinent questions. Now, maybe it would be right if we talked a little bit at this point about what order of creatures does Satan belong to? What order of creatures does Satan belong to? Now, we need to understand that when you read the Bible, there are at least three creatures of the angelic order that are mentioned by name. Only one of these is said to be, in the Scripture, an archangel. But most of the time, those who are called by name, we put in that category. Whether that's true or not, I'll let you figure that out for yourself. I don't know that it makes a whole lot of difference, but maybe it does. But technically, only one of them is called an archangel. And his name is Michael. His name is Michael. And he's talked about in Old Testament and he's talked about in the New Testament. And the term archangel to me would suggest that there is gradation in the order of angels. Archangels, to my mind, is above regular angels. There's a graded situation here. Here's somebody that's at the top, but there's others coming along. Now, you find out that there are not only archangels, but there are angels, and some angels are fallen angels. Some angels are holy angels. That means they're unfallen. And there are some fallen angels that are fallen and free, and some fallen angels that are fallen and bound. Well, that's a lot to think about, isn't it? A lot to think about. But now, among the named angels, let me get back before I forget my whole thing here. Michael, what does Michael do? What does he do? I kind of got a name for each one of these and what they do. I call Michael God's war angel. God's war angel. Now, I preached a little last week on God and war. I did. Preached a little bit about it. Somebody asked me, said, does God ever take sides in a war? I don't know whether he takes sides or not. But you want to be on his side if he's at war. I read one time where somebody asked, they asked Abraham Lincoln, said, "Do you believe God's on your side?" He said, "That's not my concern. My concern is whether I'm on his side or not." I believe old Lincoln had his head on right that day. But now sometimes God declares war. Go back in your Old Testament and see what God said about the Amalekites. I'll have war. How long? Perpetually. From generation to generation, God said, "I'm declaring war on Amalek." Now there's one king lost his kingdom over that mess. God told him, his name was Saul. God said, "Saul, you go over there, you kill every Amalekite over there, you kill the king, you kill the women, you kill the children, you kill the soldiers, you kill the cows, you kill everything that's over there. I'm talking about leave scorched earth. That's all you're to leave over there." And Saul decided he knew how to handle things better than God told him. And when he got through and come back home, pretending like everything is all right, and it was all right till one of those cows hauled off and bellowed. Samuel said, "You told me you'd done everything God told. What's that blatant of that?" God said this to Saul, said, "You've dishonored me and disobeyed me. Your kingdom's over. You can just get set down. You're through." May not mean much to you, but evidently it meant a lot to God. Boy, there's a lot of preaching in that, isn't it? Whatever God said, we better get at it. And we better not modify it along the way. We better be obeying in every minute detail, because God pays attention to detail. But Michael, he's God's war angel. And then there's Gabriel. You say, what's Gabriel about? Well, Gabriel seems to be an angel that carries messages. He's the one showed up. I mean, you wouldn't send Michael to talk to Mary. Huh? After all, the message to Mary was, "Hey, I know you've never known a man, but you're going to have a baby." You don't send war angel to talk to somebody like that. You send Gabriel. Now, all most people know about Gabriel's the horn-tooting business. You say, "I'm waiting for Gabriel to blow the horn." Well, maybe he will. But now he carried a message. He didn't blow a horn when he come to see Mary. He said, "Now, Mary, this is the way it's going to be. And you don't have to worry with it. But this is the way it's going to be." You find all about that in Luke. But there's another one of these fellows that's named in the Bible. And he's called Lucifer, isn't he? Lucifer. Now you say, "Well, what about Lucifer?" Well, God created him. You can't deny that. If he's here, God created him. So I call Michael God's war angel and Gabriel God's word angel. He sent message. And then Lucifer, God's wicked angel. Now, he wasn't wicked when God created him, but he became wicked. That's interesting to me. Now, I want to go back and do some more reading. I can read better than I can preach about all this. Let's go to the book of Isaiah a minute. Book of Isaiah chapter 14. I realize this is beginner stuff for some of you, but that's okay. Milk never hurt anybody. Isaiah chapter number 14. This is a Bible conference, isn't it? That's where we confer about the Bible. Confer about the Bible. Now look right here, Isaiah 14. I mean, this fellow, this angel's name is given. Isaiah 14, 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, he didn't say it out loud, said it in his heart. God knows what's in your heart before you say it. Thou said in thy heart, I will. Now if you don't think it's sin to mark your Bible, mark these I will. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and that did shake kingdoms? Watch it. That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his presence? There's a lot laying right there. Now, I'm going to turn the page on you. I'm going to Ezekiel 28. How many are already there? See? You're already there. See, this is, you know the path. Ezekiel chapter 28. And we're going to read over there. Reading helps us if we'll just read it. Just read it. Now, let's put in now in Ezekiel 28 and let's read a little bit here. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, now that's one of the Lord's names for Ezekiel, isn't it? Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. Think about that. Thou art wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thy understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches. Thou'st gotten gold, silver, thy treasure. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic. Mark that word, traffic. Thou hast increased thy riches and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee and the terrible nations, terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom. They shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? For thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers. I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Thus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and thy pikes was prepared in thee. In the day that thou wast created, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring thee forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Good to read, isn't it? Just read. There's a verse in Nehemiah chapter 8. It's the verse that I take as guidance for preaching. Here's what it says. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. They read in the book of the law of the Lord distinctly. And gave the sense and caused the people to understand the reading. Reading is good. Okay, I ask you three questions to start with about this thing, and I'm going to ask them again. We're going to get an answer at least to one. And the question is this. Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Why did Satan fall. The answer begins with a P. It ends with an E. And there's a ride between the two. Huh? Why did Satan fall? Why do men fall? See, the reason Satan fell, same reason we fall. I read this in the Bible. Let me see if you've read this verse. P-R-I-D-E, pride, goeth before destruction. And an haughty spirit before a fall. I've already stated, I am glad, I am thankful to be an American. I'm not ashamed to be an American. I'm not. There's one thing that's really tearing me apart about all this stuff that's going on. There's too much flagrant pride. We're the strongest, we're the biggest, we're the best, we're this, we're this, we're this, we're this. And I'm a hearing God referred to very little. We're on dangerous ground. I read this in the book of Ecclesiastes. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it's the book of Ecclesiastes, isn't it? But in my thinking, you have to get the grasp of the perspective of the book of Ecclesiastes. The Lord let Solomon write that book from a natural man's perspective. Yeah. I thought in my heart, just look at those phrases. God let him write it down. It's a natural man looking at the world. Of course, when he looked at all, he still come up with a zero. Didn't he? But he said this. He said, now, the race is not always to the swift. Say it. Nor the battle to the strong. Mm-hmm. And he went on to talk about wise men. I mean, sometimes wise people do the most foolish stuff. You ever notice that? Solomon is one of the wisest men that ever lived. And he knew a whole bunch of stuff. But Lord have mercy. He acted like me sometimes. Foolish. You ever been foolish? Think about that. And here we are, Americans. We're so proud. So proud. So swelled up in ourselves. And somehow I sense there is an arrogance about this old mess. We're going to show the world who's the boss. I got news for you today, and I'm going to give it to you before you go to dinner. Ain't but one boss in this world. Amen. That's right. And he sits on that throne that devil wanted to be on. And as sure as Lucifer lost his place, America can lose her place overnight. We had better be praying, folks. And I don't know all about the chronology of everything. I ain't got a lot of stuff figured out. I've met a few people that did. I gathered that from things they said. But I know this. God is in control. Amen. The good and the bad and the ugly. And he don't take counsel from us. And if we want to be worth anything, we better sit in his counsel. My. I think that when you study the scriptures, you know the Lord started off with Adam and Eve. You know what happened. We'll talk about that maybe another day. But you come on down to Genesis 12 and he called old Abram. And that's the nation and it's still the nation. It still is. You may think God's thrown them away, but I've read the Bible. I know better than that. God hadn't thrown them away. But now look here. We know that Daniel talked about the first Gentile world power. And then he come on down through here and he talked about the last Gentile world power. And we know the general plan is this. Yes, God cut them off and then he grafted us in and here we are. And the world has been under Gentile powers for many, many years. But we know that's going to end. And I'm confident. I'm speaking to a group of people here this morning that realize we're far closer to the end of that than we are the beginning. I mean, it don't take a prophecy expert to figure that out. The clock's been rolling along. And one of these days, Gentile power is going to set down. Now, I don't know how God's going to facilitate all of that. He hadn't asked me about it. I don't expect him to. But he's in control of that. And if so be that this country is defeated, you say, well, you're entertaining wrong kind of thought. No, I'm being a realist. I believe that verse, pride goeth before destruction. Haughty spirit before falling. I've never seen more arrogance and more pride on display in my whole life of 74 years. I've seen it in flagrant terminology. I've got news for you. But God, if God, it's not how big your army is. I don't have a lot to do with it. God can send one angel and kill 100. Well, how many? Was it 185, Brother John? 185,000 people in one night. Just one of them. You say, well, he don't do that today. You talking mighty big. I wouldn't talk that big if I was you. You got it, Brother Ware. To anybody he wants to, long as he wants to. And he can not do it if he don't want to. Amen. Son, he holds all the leverage. Has all the keys. I'm glad I know him. I think about the young man that asked Dr. Havner one time in a conference. He said, Dr. Havner, I know you preach in some of the largest churches in America. He said, you must know all the key people in all these churches. Dr. Havner, in his wise, witty way, he said this to that young preacher. He said, young man, you don't have to know the key people when you know the the keeper of the keys. I know the keeper of the keys. He can open a door, he can shut a door. And nobody can't stop it and start it or nothing. God bless you. I want to just get your thoughts. Now we're talking about the fall of Satan. And we're going to talk about not only why he fell. Maybe we'll talk a little about when this happened. And what kind of effect has it brought? Okay? Y'all ready to go to dinner? Come on, preacher. I'm through.